It's the internet. You're busy. Let's do this. Welcome to the Games Beat Decides podcast. This is the podcast where we decide everything about the world of games so you don't have to think for yourself. I'm your host, Jeffrey Grubb. With me is
Michael Minotti, the first.
I have Jeffrey Grubb written down here, and I think I say Jeffrey Grubb most of the time, but I actually prefer Jeff Grubb. And then you said Michael Minotti. Do you have a preference for Mike or Michael?
Oh, it's Mike. No one calls me Michael anymore except my mom. I used to hate being called Mike when I was a kid. I don't know why. I think it was just a contrarian thing, but yeah, I don't know when the switch happened. And then I think I started looking at my name.
The switch definitely happened when the John Travolta movie came out.
I was actually excited about that as a kid. But, that's my name. I'm really special. But I think now I just like the way Mike Minotti looks when I write it out. I don't know.
Yeah. You got the bum, bum, bum. It would be absurd if there was a John Travolta movie called Jeff. That would be really, I don't know. There's something funny.
There's
gotta
be a movie called Jeff somewhere. Yeah, it's probably. It'd be like that Paul movie, right? It'd be like a comedy where it's like, it's actually a wacky alien, but his name is just Jeff.
Yep, that's it. You got it. Got it one. In today's episode, we're going to do some news. We're going to do some games. First, though, I want to thank everybody for joining us. You can get more from me and Mike at gamesbeat.com. If you have something to share with us, you can email the podcast at games+podcast@venturebeat.com. That's the plus sign in there. Thank you to Carlos Ayn, who is Insane in the Rain Music on YouTube, for the use of our theme song. And yeah, if you're listening to this on YouTube or Twitch or anything like that, you can subscribe to the audio version of the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever pods are caught.
Jeff, there's a 1969 crime film named Jeff. I don't think it was a big hit though. Sorry.
Probably not. Yeah, I don't know. I'll watch it. I'll give it a shot.
Will you?
It's no Michael.
Don't tell me lies.
You're right. I'm just gonna go watch Michael instead. You're right.
Yeah. Come on. He's gonna bring that dog back to life, and you're gonna cry like a little baby.
I was actually more of a Phenomenon fan at that time. I preferred of the John Travolta Magic Man movies. It was Phenomenon, not Michael.
Fair enough.
We got a lot happened this past week. Does it feel like all those jokes we made about E3 starts a month early now in the past couple of years. And now it's all of that has come true, but to an excruciating degree.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't like it. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of fun, but it's also not right now. I'm depressed.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I'm like, hey, maybe not today. My ADHD is really flaring up. And the thought of something just happening out of nowhere is causing me to have to just sit there and stare at my computer all day, and I can't handle it right now.
Part of it is translated to me being unnecessarily grumpy about something. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can examine this week as we get into it.
Yeah, as we get into it. So a lot did happen. I don't know. Is there anywhere in particular you want to start? Any of the big news stories that happened this week? I mean, this is going to be our ongoing E3 rundown. So
I guess the thing that I think maybe the most unreasonably grumpy was the Unreal Engine 5 demo. So maybe we could talk about that thing.
Yeah. So just real quick to recap for people, Epic Games showed off Unreal Engine 5. This is their new engine that's not out yet. It will be out eventually. I think in 2021, they said maybe. At that point, developers working on Unreal Engine 4 can switch to that, whatever. The big thing is that they had a tech demo that they showed running off on the PlayStation 5 that showed some next-gen features. And we'll get into some of that stuff in a bit. But, Mike, why were you grumpy about all this?
Everybody was using this to try to rub people's faces into look, next gen really is going to be this big graphical leap thing. I'm like, this is a tech demo. I mean, I'm sure games are going to look like this. This tech demo looks great. This is exciting. But people were like, huh, oh, you losers were wrong. And I think what really got me was, and I usually love Jeff Keighley, but Tom Marks from IGN, who I met a few times, and he's a really nice guy. He wrote the story. He wrote the story a few weeks ago when the Xbox thing happened. Maybe you need to lower your expectations about.
Only a week ago, Mike. It was only a week ago.
A week ago? No, that had to be forever ago. What are you talking? Last week, he wrote the story. Lower your expectations for next gen. And you read the story, and the thesis is
good story.
At the start, next gen, games are going to look a lot like they do now, which, like, isn't that untrue from last gen or even the, you know, stuff like that. Like, that, you know, it, that seemed like a very reasonable take. And Jeff Keighley did his, he, like, retweeted, like, this take is going to age poorly. So, you know, kind of promoting
himself. I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't know that Jeff Keighley, that's a bummer because Tom's right. Like,
There's more.
Go, please.
Then when the thing happened, right, like right after the Unreal 5 engine thing happened, like he had the tweet lined up. He like retweeted that again. It's like, this take has aged badly. And it's just like, it's infuriating to me because I'm like, how does this tech demo for an engine that's coming out after the console's release have anything to do with like the thesis of that story, which was that like next gen games aren't going to be that big of a graphical leap at the start. It's like Jeff Keighley was doing the I'm only reading the headline thing. And it just bummed me up because I like Jeff Keighley. And it sounds ridiculous to say that he's punching down when it's IGN. But maybe it's because I know Tom a little personally. But it's like, you know, because then, of course, there's like all these people like coming at Tom on Twitter. Like, whoa, big slam, take the W. Like,
yeah, no, I didn't. I wasn't aware of all this stuff. I was just like watching. I read the story, but I also watched the video on YouTube. That's where I came across it first. And the comment section was a lot like that. Like, I saw this aged poorly in the comments there. And I'm like, I knew people were going to be that way about this tech demo, but people are getting very excited about this tech demo in a way that they should not. But that was my like relationship to this. And I had a hunch that this thing, when this demo came out, because we got pre-briefed on and we knew it was coming. My hunch is that this is just going to fuel the sort of fanboy wars, and that's about it. You know, developers are going to get excited for it for a different reason, but I was like, this just seems like it's just kind of more fodder for that fight, and I was not looking forward to
it. Like my big hot take on the tech demo, again, this is kind of cynical, but it was, this is what next gen games can look like if you have billions of dollars in Fortnite money, need to make an incredibly small vertical slice, and also need to sell your game engine to people. So like, right. Yeah, it's great, but I mean, It's almost telling that Epic's not going to make that game, right?
No.
I mean, if it's so fantastic, why won't they make that game then? No, they're going to make Fortnite, which looks like, you know, a 2001 DreamWorks film, because that, like, registers better, it makes more money, and, you know, there's all sorts of things. But, yeah, the tech demo looks great, but again, like, I don't know, like, I immediately became grumbling at people like, oh yeah, big next gen leap. After all, suck it down, Daikatana. I'm like, all right, let's calm down a little bit. This looks fantastic, and you know, just again, more exciting things are probably, you know, if Unreal Engine 5 makes it easier to make games that, like,
sure.
You know, I'm more excited about the idea that maybe you can make something that looks like a Red Dead Redemption 2 with 100 people instead of like 10,000 or something like that. So, I don't know. That's why I guess I was a little bit of a grumpy pants about it, even though, like, it looks amazing and it is exciting. And I'm sure that by the end of the generation, games, maybe not even by the end, maybe even in a couple years, games are going to look like that.
Definitely by the end, though.
But
No, go ahead. Yeah, finish.
But it's thought. Like, we're still on this thing, like, you know, basically since Xbox 360 launch, where, like, you know, the games getting better has been like this pretty steady curve. Where it used to be like kind of like more of a little bit of a curve. And then when the consoles came out, it was like a big jump, right?
Right.
Like, now the console coming out is almost irrelevant, at least in terms of like what we see, even though we know it's better hardware and it is making things better. But like, yeah, there's just not that jump immediately. And like,
That's smoothed out for a bunch of reasons, right? Because it's like, it's cheaper to do it that way because they're going to still sell these games on older hardware and they want to keep doing that. And also, like, it's not the hardware isn't even necessarily the limitation. It's the hardware in combination with the tools, and the tools need time to catch up to the new hardware, which is what Unreal Engine 5 is going to unlock eventually. But the hardware is almost not worth it because until you have the tools, because it's like, okay, yeah, we're going to get some better frame rates in the way we do things the old way, but it still takes a lot of people to make this stuff. And that's the real barrier, is how expensive everything is. And so, yeah, like you were saying, the tools might make it cheaper, and that's awesome. But like, even like with this demo, we saw like one of the art designers, I think maybe like the main art designer for God of War, was like, yeah, good luck trying to make a game with that much artistic detail for like 30 hours long. So even with these tools, because it's just like, just because it's easy to like bring the stuff in from ZBrush, which is like a really, you know, powerful 3D authoring tool for making, you know, 3D sculptures or whatever. And you can put that right into Unreal Engine and it just works. And you don't have to like author all these other like level of detail, different modes so that it works across a bunch of different hardware or whatever. That's fantastic. No doubt about it. That is incredible. But it's still creating that art asset in the first place is actually still the greatest barrier. And putting all of that detail in there is still the thing that requires the most talent and the most talent in terms of like a person who is very talented. And then also a lot of those people. And we're not going to get over that barrier.
Right. Like there are maybe like 4 studios in the world that could actually make a game like that. Yeah. Right.
You know, I was trying to make this point on Twitter and like people were like, well, obviously you don't know about Rockstar and Naughty Dog. And I'm like, you're listing like the 4 or 5 studios that absolutely will do this. Yes. Most of them don't even use Unreal.
They have done it and they will. And like, that's the thing. Like, are we going to be able to see more studios make these kinds of games? Because
the tools are
so much better. I hope so. And that would be great. But yeah, I mean, that's all I meant is this, you know, and part of it is because we've had like these mid-console like upgrades, like PlayStation 4 Pro stuff. So, you know, there's just not the giant leap there was. And that's fine in a way. It's not something that like I'm mad about or anything like that.
Right.
But just like, you know, don't act like there's some kind of big slam dunk that like happened on me. I didn't get posterized or, you know, no one did. Right. Just because of this tech demo. And again, tech demo. I don't know. It's just bizarre that people are putting more stock in the tech demo than the actual gameplay footage we saw.
Right. Yes. I think that's very telling. Part of me thinks that Jeff Keighley isn't very good at some of this stuff.
I'm not saying like he's like intentionally like doing it, but like, you know, just like in terms of like, you know, how his brain is working, it's important to him that people are excited about Next Generation because he's got
in each individual announcement too, it's like he has to like, he's making partnerships and part of the partnership, I'm sure, is him saying, and I'm going to, you know, I'll promote it and I'll get people hyped up and ready for it. And they'll tune in to watch it because they're going to be super excited. I definitely saw people saying this, you know, people are always going to say stuff after whatever, no matter what it is. But like, you know, this feels like kind of a boy who cried wolf situation where Jeff Keighley was saying this is the one of the most important events on the SGF calendar, the Summer Game Fest calendar. And I agree with that from a certain point of view where like, yes, in terms of showing what can happen next gen. And if you're a developer, all this stuff is very important. Absolutely. And we can have those discussions. I think, though, that like you have to know who is actually like paying attention to Summer Game Fest. And it's, you know, a million regular gamers who are immediately going to think this is either PlayStation 5, Batman, or one or two other things, maybe. And it's until it is that thing, it's just going to be kind of this continual, like every event's going to get this build up hype. And if it's not one of those things, it's going to feel like a disappointment. And are we in for a summer of that where just that happens over and over and over a dozen different times? That seems like it could get real old real fast.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind it personally. Like, I think it is like a fine thing to have on the show. And I think like the other, you know, the Tony Hawk thing, which we'll talk about, was also like a good thing for the show. But that's the benefit of E3, right? Is that if a whole event is hyped up for a day and it turns out to be Tony Hawk and you're not interested in Tony Hawk, well, if it's E3, that's okay, because that's one of 20 announcements, right? You're going to find something. Exactly. But now it's like you're getting your hopes up and, oh, I don't care about this. I guess, you know, I'll hope that the next one is my thing.
Right.
So I don't know. I wonder if people are going to like this format more, if we're going to find out that, man, maybe having like that big 2-day blast is maybe actually better overall. But, you know, everyone's doing their best. And I certainly, you know, I'm not trying to come at Jeff Keighley. I think Summer Game Fest is a good idea. And I actually have liked it. I just didn't like him coming at Tom like that, I suppose. Especially like in terms of using it to promote his own thing.
I agree with that, definitely. So let's move on. But before Unreal Engine 5, the announcement that happened was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the order it went in?
This is the first thing, I think, at Summer Games Fest.
Yeah, and you know, it is exactly what it says on the tin. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, it is upgraded to 4K. They brought back all the original skaters from the first game. I don't know if it changed for the second game, but it's all the skaters from the first game. They got most of the music they confirmed today. They put out a Spotify soundtrack, and it's missing a couple of bangers. Bring the Noise is one that I'm like, I'm really going to miss. And
was Ace of Spades 1 and 2, or is that a later one? Or is it just
I think it's a later one. Because when I was going through the list, I was trying. But yeah, they got most of the songs, and it looks pretty good. And Vicarious Visions is saying all the right things. And of course, we're not going to know until we get our hands on it, whether it plays right and feels right, which was the problem with Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD, which came out a few years ago and was just kind of a disaster. I thought it got close, but it was off in just enough ways that it was bad. And then Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 was a true disaster. But yeah, how are you feeling about them bringing this back?
I mean, I'm pretty excited. I think we both love Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk's
Formative
Pro Skater 5. Yeah, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 was a disaster. And like, yeah, the HD remake of the last time they tried to do this wasn't very exciting. And so this looks pretty good. And if it's just, you know, like a very well done remake of Tony Hawk 1 and 2 that like adds some of those Tony Hawk 3 mechanics, like the revert and the...
The manual was in two, and then the revert combo came in, and revert was what brought it all together, wasn't it?
I feel like four added something. I can't remember now. Maybe four's whole thing was just the open levels.
Yeah, they might have like Flatland tricks or something like that, or maybe that could have been much later. But yeah, there was something, but it wasn't important.
Yeah, I'm super excited. At first, when you told me about this, I was bummed that it's not a Switch game. But now that I see it and I realize, like, kind of what they're going for a bit more of a. Like, you know, kind of high techy thing with it. So I guess I kind of understand. I guess I want to ultimately play this on a PlayStation controller anyways, right?
True, yeah. I think if I look at the Switch, it could work. But I think the button placement and the button spacing on the PlayStation controller, you know, it was made for that. The game was originally made for that. And it still kind of works best on that.
I remember playing Tony Hawk 2X. Remember that? That was a launch game for the Xbox. And like people were talking about Tony Hawk. HD, but that was like the first, because that basically was Tony Hawk 1 and 2 with like some newer things. I remember just like the problem there was just playing it on that Xbox controller. Yep. I was like, yeah, this is weird.
And it's not like, oh, the controller's big. It's that the button line alignment was so bad that you couldn't like go from like an ollie to a grind without also hitting the grip or hitting a grab trick or
something. Didn't the original Xbox controller like that? I remember like the D-pad, it wasn't like... like aligned properly, it was like kind of like on a slant or something weird.
And the buttons themselves were like italicized almost, like they had this like weird warping to it. So yeah, it wasn't a great controller. But you know, you could play it on the S, the Xbox controller S, and it worked fine. You could play it on a GameCube controller, kinda, but that had some issues too. Really, that was made for PlayStation, and you're right. I think what they're going for here makes it clear. It's like it'll be a fine experience on a console. Maybe if they bring it to Switch eventually, I'll buy it again.
Do you think this is like a bit of a canary to see if they can go forward with the series again?
So yeah, when we think about where Activision is at and like what they've been saying over the past like year or two about how like, okay, we need to make more games, we need to leverage our brands and our IPs more. We need to, you know, make sure that we're actually making games. And I think part of that is like, okay, well, let's start here. Let's get Vicarious Visions' feet wet, making, you know, doing this remake. And then if they, you know, they can handle it, they can go ahead and make a sequel to this. You know, Vicarious Visions has been their remaster team though, right? They did, Crash and Spyro.
I believe so. Yeah. And they did great job on those, right? Like those are fantastic. So, like those are some of the best remakes we've seen really.
Right. So
especially in terms of the one-to-one remake style, right? Like, yeah.
Right.
Not like what a Final Fantasy VII is. Yeah.
Right. Yes, exactly. A whole other thing.
Now, what about getting Kelly Slater's Pro Surfer?
I know. Made? Like, there's a whole bunch of those kinds of, I just want BMX Triple X. That's the only one I ever really cared about, Mike, of course. those polygonal boobs were Matt Hoffman. Very enticing. Yeah. Matt Hoffman, it was pretty good. I think that BMX Triple X was actually based.
The one with the tits.
Yeah, the one with the tits. Correct. Yes. Yeah, I played that on GameCube. I rented it, and it wasn't very good.
I rented Slater's Pro Surfer. I might have bought it. I don't know. It was not that.
Was that that game? I thought that rated pretty well. Like, was it okay?
Man, you're kind of right. Yeah, it's Metacritic on Xbox is like an 80. Not awful.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that being like one of the ones
of
that was
time. Or Defender of the Future.
Nothing is.
Echo.
Yeah, Defender of the Future, yeah.
I've been thinking about that all week still.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I've been meaning to play it, but I haven't had time for really any game. But
no.
I want to play that for sure. But this is great. I'm glad they're doing this. I hope that it goes from here, and they don't need to remake all the Tony Hawk games. They don't need to go back and, like, I mean, 3 and 4 are also great. Thug was great. And if they did remake them, I'm not going to say no. But I'm my hope here is that you're right, that this is the canary.
Right.
That, like, lives, and we get a sequel that is, like, it takes it someplace new.
Yeah, like all those other, especially because, like, starting with 3, you have the revert. I think I'm fine just kind of playing those. I mean, Tony Hawk 3 is probably my favorite one, really.
Yeah.
But still, I'm like, I don't necessarily, like, if you remade it, I wouldn't complain. Yeah. Like that.
Right.
I'd
yeah.
Play it, but I'd almost kind of say, like, okay, what are you going to do now? Let's see.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else happened this past week? Paper Mario. So, we had Tony Hawk, and then we had Unreal, and these are parts of the Summer Game Fest or IGN's thing or GameSpot's thing. And no one really knows what Nintendo's doing. Nintendo's not a part of any of these other, like, loosely affiliated E3 replacements. I said they weren't going to have a Direct, and they're still not having a Direct anytime soon.
Well, this absolutely proved that they aren't having a Direct now.
Yeah.
You really
yes, they definitely have. Yeah, and for sure. It feels like, yeah, this was... And I think this is also almost proof of, like, this was going to be in that March Direct, right? Because this July release date kind of lines up with when they probably they could have done it.
Wasn't in the March Direct, like,
right?
Like, that was basically the one thing that kept that from being not a mini, is if they had this at the end of it, right? So
right, yeah.
I don't know. Like, must have been some weird decision they made at the last minute.
Right, and there was another release date that they announced recently that was like, oh, if this was the Mario 2 or the Super Mario Maker 2. DLC.
The DLC,
like,
for that, the new, like, NES games that just got announced. There's a bunch of things that could have been in that Direct.
Right. But, you know, so it's like, I think that they probably were just like, okay, well, COVID, we don't know what's going on. Let's take all this stuff out, just make a Direct Mini and move on from there. We already have, like, agreements with our partners. We have to do something, so we'll just do it as a Direct Mini. But yeah, so anyhow, they still have games, clearly, and they have to announce them somehow. So what do? They just, first thing in the morning, they put out a trailer for Paper Mario, the Origami King. And I woke up, rolled out of bed, and someone's like, here is someone I trust. I think it was like Nibble on Twitter or something, was like, here's the cover art for Paper Mario, the Origami King. And I'm like, wait, what? What's happening?
Yeah, right.
And then I'm like, okay. And I rolled over, and I'm like, I figured out what was happening, and watched the trailer. And it's good. I want to hear your thoughts, Mike, because you're a pretty big fan of the series, right?
Well, I mean, I was, yeah, like the, I'm like, I think I'm like just about everybody else, right? Like, I loved 1, I really loved 2, Thousand Year Door was incredible, and then, like Super Paper Mario was, like, kind of interesting, like, you know, it was trying to be something really different, right? But then Sticker Star was, like, not great, and then Color Splash was, like, a direct sequel to Sticker Star, like, carrying over its mechanics, and that was just confusing more than anything mm-hmm. else. So, like, yeah, this looks like it's going to be more like the old games. Like, you'll have partners, and it doesn't look like you're using stickers for all of your attacks. It looks like there's actually an attack command menu. But there's still, like, some questions, like, are there experience points? Which, like, the fact that I have to ask that question infuriates me. But, like, that was one of the big problems with, like, Color Splash and Sticker Star. Like, you don't level up. They're like, you don't need to worry about that. It's like, okay, I guess I won't fight anything then. And also, fighting things feels really unsatisfying. So, like, you know, this all, like, them backing away from RPG things before. And so I'm still skeptical, I guess. I want to believe.
Yeah.
Like, I like the theming, the idea of it. Like, the whole origami thing looks cool. I'm still really confused about that thick white outline around Paper Mario now on top of his already thick black outline. Like, that was something they added in Color Splash, and that's still here. And that's, like, again, it's, like, this small thing. But I'm like, I don't like that. What is that? That seems like a weird decision. I'm wary. So
yeah, and I don't think that you're wrong to be skeptical, because, like, the rumor and what I heard as well is that this was always going to be a more traditional Paper Mario, going back to exactly what you described as the games you like the most. But, you know, it's Nintendo. So what does going back to those games mean to Nintendo that it might not mean to fans of the series? So my hope is that it does mean, you know, full RPG mechanics, and it feels a lot like Thousand Year Door. But, you know, they could also change stuff up. I'm not saying it has to be exactly like that. But you know, maybe to them, going back just means like, you know, a real focus on fun adventure storytelling with a funny storyline and you know, stuff like that. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like they should know what people want from these games
you
now.
I think they should know. We'll see. I mean, you know, the kind of like turntable thing with the bounce, and that looks like it could be interesting. It almost like, again, it's almost like, I don't necessarily need that. I'm fine with just, you know, the regular turn-based battles, but okay, fine.
Sure, whatever. Yeah. But like, if they're going to try
feel
something.
You like you got to do something. Yeah, that's fine. Do something. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you know, Intelligent Systems is making this. Intelligent Systems has, you know, an up and down record. They make some incredible games and they make some clunkers. They make a Fire Emblem Awakening. And then, you know, the Fire Emblem game on Switch, they only oversaw and Tecmo Koei kind of really handled the bulk of the work there, but they still were involved there.
What was that weird game, the steampunk game?
Codename Steam, though, is a bad game. And it was like, it's bad in the ways that intelligence systems can make a bad game, where it's like the systems are confusing.
They
and
aren't intelligent.
Yeah, they are. Yes, non-intelligent. And I don't know. They have, you know, some of the, you know, they are the ones responsible for the unsatisfactory Paper Mario games too. So it's like, clearly they can do good work and they can do bad work, and who knows what we're going to get here. I do hope though that they pull this through, because it, you know, it feels like, yeah, there will be other Nintendo games. They'll announce them at some point. But it feels like this is kind of like the big one propping up their summer, at least. And if it's just kind of a forgettable experience, that's going to be a shame for especially for a Switch system that has had such a good run of at least very good games, if not, you know, a lot of great games. As part of this, I was writing my story about this, and I mentioned that, you know, one of the next games is going to be Pikmin 3 Deluxe. And I swear, I thought everyone, I'm like, you know, this is just a commonly known thing. Everyone kind of knows it's coming. So I'll just add this as context at the end of my story. And then all of a sudden I see like people like Jeff Grubb confirms Pikmin 3 Deluxe. I'm like, oh God. All right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, but okay. All right. Yeah. I guess
you,
that did.
You funny guy. No, we did not know. That's not a thing yet.
Yeah. So that's not a thing yet. But it does seem like it's, you know, it's pretty likely from what I've heard. It seems like, yeah, it should be happening soon. My understanding was that was another thing that should have been at that last Direct, and it should have been announced and probably even out by now. So we'll see how Nintendo decides to actually play that game. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like, you know, this fall or maybe slightly after Paper Mario, if they're just trying to fill out their schedule. We'll see.
I still can't believe Paper Mario game's coming out in July. That's insane.
July, right?
That's like even for like recent Nintendo, which has been kind of quick turn like around, this. Yeah. This is like, that's a few months. You've just announced it. That's
2 months. Yeah.
What do you, is there anything to that Metroid thing they did at the end of that trailer, or are they just being silly? Are we getting the trilogy?
Not that I know of. I mean, only I've heard all the same rumors as everyone else, where there's like, oh, maybe there's a 2D Mario, and you know, we know that two D Metroid. Thank you. Yeah, and we know that they have the Metroid Prime 4 that they're making. It seems like it's, I don't know. US Gamer had a good headline where it's like, it's foolish to read that as prophecy, but it's hard not to. Basically, it's hard not to take that as like, this means something for Nintendo. And I agree with that. It's just the way it was presented. Like, Nintendo at least knows that much, where it's like, if they put a Metroid stinger in their trailer, especially when there hasn't been a Metroid thing in a very long time and people are desperate for news about that, that people are going to wonder if that means something else. And I bet it does. My bet would be yes.
It'd be kind of a fun way. Like, if you're not doing a direct, like you can keep doing these things, but like at the end of each one, have a little bit of like a tease about what the next thing might be. It's kind of fun.
I agree. That's a really good way of doing things. All right. So I've kind of bounced around on my news list here. What else do we have? Mafia Trilogy got announced. Any love for the Mafia games, Mike?
No.
Yeah.
I'm kind of weird in general. Like I'm not like mafia mobster thing is not really my jam. Like, I don't watch those movies. I don't really play. It's your life,
so you don't need to play the game.
I live in Youngstown, Ohio, honestly. Like, we have a mafia. So it's just not that much fun. And it's like, you know, I'm not trying to be like, obviously I'll play games with like pirates and like other like violent groups of people in them and stuff. I don't know. Something about the mafia is always weird to me about out of it. I think it's because I'm Italian and I'm really like I've always been really off put by the amount of people who like hang a picture of like Tony Soprano in their living room, like non-ironically. I'm like, what, do you actually look up to this person, this murderer? I think you're missing the point. I don't know. So yeah, I don't know. I've always had a weird relationship with Mafia stuff. I don't know. How about you?
I played Mafia 2 on live. I played it over that cloud streaming service. And that was, I played it for like maybe 2 hours and was like one of the few games I played on live. And I didn't like it very much. And then I never played on live or on live three, Mafia 3. And I never really touched the first one. So I'm kind of like, this game, this franchise is always like, there's been something appealing to me. I do like that kind of, you know, mafia media or whatever. But the games have never fully delivered on like what I want from that stuff. I want the games to feel like Godfather 2, the old flashback scenes where, you know, he's just running around the neighborhood and doing all kinds of stuff and doing kinds of just kind of typical goon crime stuff. And I'm like, yeah, if I could just like kind of live that stuff and simulate it in a way that feels more vibrant and alive than just going through and doing missions, I'd be into that. But the franchise has never really tried to do that, I don't think, not too much. And I hope that by kind of updating these games, they add some more of that, those elements. And if they do, I'll give it a shot. And if they don't, you know, it definitely has its fans. So I'm sure it'll do just fine. Ghost of Tsushima, though, that got its own state of play later in the day after the Mario stuff. We both watched this. What were your thoughts?
I'm excited. I mean, it's nothing. It doesn't look like anything ridiculously groundbreaking. It doesn't look quite as basic as, say, what was the bike one? That Days Gone.
Days Gone, yeah, sure.
It's not like, yeah, it's not that. Like, just, I think a lot of people said, oh, this looks a little bit more like Assassin's Creed than I was expecting. And I agree with that, but that certainly doesn't seem like a bad thing. Like, it seems like the old Assassin's Creed games in a way, which I think is, you know, a lot of people say they missed that. And a lot of people have wanted a Japanese Assassin's Creed, right? Like, well,
yes,
here's what we got.
Yep. And if they deliver on that, I think this could be a very fun game. I don't know. I wasn't super impressed with the visuals. I don't know. It could have just been.
I thought they looked. I understand what you're saying. I think they look okay, but I mean, it is one of those things where it's like, yeah, maybe the next gen stuff is going to help a bit.
Yeah, maybe it's just like it is like more of a Ubisoft open world game than I was expecting, and so like maybe they toned down some of the effects, toned down some of the textures or whatever, so that it could be this big sprawling open world. And if that's the case, that's fine. It's fair. I'm totally okay with that. It looks good enough. And I bet when I'm controlling it, I won't notice some of the things I noticed in the trailer, or, you know, the demonstration. But yeah, for now I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't as impressed with it as I thought I was going to be just in terms of visuals. But yeah, I'm looking forward to giving
like
that one a
some
shot.
Some things like the colors are really neat. Like some, like they're being a bit more bold with that stuff than these open world games typically are. So that's kind of interesting, but, yeah, I guess I know what you're talking about a little bit, but I'm excited for it. I'm surprised. I guess I'm not surprised, but like, I want to know what the kind of PlayStation 5 plan is for this game, because there's got to be something, right?
Right. I'm surprised that they haven't started talking about that stuff yet, but it just feels like they have all this stuff. They still have these two games, The Last of Us Part 2 and Ghost of Tsushima, but they also have to start talking about PlayStation 5 and like why you need to buy one of those. They don't want to.
An awkward spot.
Yeah. It's like they're kind of trying to like build this house of cards that's like, you know, it's all worth it in the end. There's a lot of good stuff happening, but it's hard to strike the right balance to keep everything propped up in a way that feels like they are giving each individual product the best chances to succeed. So we'll see. Last story, Drew McCoy and John Shearing, who are key development members at Respawn, they've left Respawn and they started their own AAA studio called Gravity Well. They've been with Respawn for 10 years. I know John Shearing was very involved in programming the games, but also making sure like the games worked well across networks and stuff like that. And Drew McCoy was basically the spokesperson and the lead designer and executive producer on Apex Legends. So now they are moving on from that, and they're going to do their own thing. And they say they're going to try to make AAA games, but with fewer than 85 people on their team. They want to kind of strike that balance. And they say if you get bigger than that, then decisions get really tough to make, and they want to give people freedom. But it's hard to do that if you have more than
that. That's not projecting on anything they went through, huh?
I know. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And, you know, Respawn got bought by EA, and it's like, yeah, EA feels like a Byzantine organization that feels like it is tough to make, to give any individual person a lot of autonomy in what they decide to do. And I think that's exactly what they want at this thing. So
wait, I mean, I thought there was something floating around this week that, like, if there was a Titanfall in development, it's not anymore. Is this related to that? You think these guys were working on that and were frustrated it was kind of canceled?
I mean, I think it's possible. I don't know if they were necessarily the ones like spearheading a Titanfall 3. But yeah, Vince Cappella told IGN, it's like, there's no Titanfall, new Titanfall in development. And I think he insinuated that there was something in 2019 that has since been canceled. And yeah, I mean, these guys probably would have been involved in that somewhat, but they definitely seemed also very much like as like core to the Apex team. But, you know, even if it wasn't necessarily that they were the ones that were going to oversee Titanfall, just the idea of being in an environment where it's like, you work on this thing because you work on this thing and you have to do that. And that's, and you, like, if you want to do something else, you're like, that's not up to you, really. I could imagine that being the kind of thing where it's like, you know what, we've done really well at this studio. We've proven that we could go from Infinity Ward and then move on to this new thing, start it up from the ground up, and build awesome stuff over 10 years. And now why don't we do that for ourselves? It's like, okay, that's fair. That makes sense. So, and you know, if they were there from the beginning of Respawn when EA did buy them, I'm sure they got at least somewhat, you know, good chunk of change from that. So they're probably just fine in terms of, you know, having the money to back this up. All right, Mike, that does it for the news though. Should we move on to what we've been playing?
Yeah. There's a lot of things happening. Fun. Yeah. Interesting. Looking back, I'm like, wow, what an eventful week.
Yes, exactly. Let me ask you, do you think like the rest of May is going to be this way, or do you think we're going to hit a lull before like that that period where E3 would have started?
Ask me, ask you. I feel like next week's maybe going to be a little quiet, but
that's as far as I know, yes. Yeah.
Are you sure I can relax next week?
I'm not going to say that. Like, I mean, the Edge magazine's like, oh, there's something. The next gen starts on May 21st. I'm like, what the fuck? Or not.
What's May 21st? Edge
I know. I'm like, what is there's no one's saying anything about May 21st. What are you talking about? So maybe that this is the point that I have like this whole thing where it's like, you can't relax, Mike. You can never relax. Something's always about to happen. So, I wouldn't be surprised if we look back like next Friday and we look back in next week and it's like, oh, okay, not much happened. People are clearly just waiting for this, you know, the traditional E3 period now, but I don't know. Who knows? All right. So let's move on to what we've been playing. Mike, why don't we start with you? You got any games that you've been chugging along with?
I beat Dragon Quest XI a couple of days ago, finally. So that was
right. And you were playing that on Switch, right?
Yeah. I was playing that Switch for like a couple months, I feel like, or maybe a few, but yeah, final play time about 75 hours. So pretty long, pretty meaty, fantastic. Like, yeah. I always thought that I was not a Dragon Quest guy. I had a couple false starts trying to get into the series. And I love JRPGs. I play a lot. And I'm just not the series much. So, like, having it on Switch, and then I finally, like, finished, like, a lot of the big games I was reviewing during the holiday season. I'm like, okay, I can finally jump into this thing now, I guess. And, like, it starts good and just keeps getting better. Like, especially the kind of the last third, like, the difficulty ramps up in this really satisfying way that not all JRPGs do, really. Where you suddenly have to worry a bit more about buffs and using spells effectively and using all your party members and like going out of your way to find like the best equipment and stuff like that. And I kind of love that pacing of like that final push towards the end of the game. So yeah, it looked great. I'm so glad I played the Switch version because like, I knew it was the definitive edition. The one thing I did not realize is like the PlayStation, and I think I remember some people talking about this, but the PlayStation 4 version and like, I think even the Steam version, like the original versions have like a synthetic soundtrack, right? Like it sounds like MIDI stuff. Like, you know, it's not even like, you know, we hear some like Skyrim has a synthetic soundtrack, but like it's made to sound like an orchestra still. Like this is just like sounds like, you know, a MIDI thing. And it sounds really, it makes the music sound really cheap and kind of obnoxious and bad. And in the Switch version, it's all orchestrated and it's amazing. It's a million times better. And even though
that's
like
the, that's why I would play the Switch version too. I heard about that and I'm like, oh wow, I would play the Switch version. I think they've there's a patch for the Steam version, but yeah, I would. Yeah, it seems like a big difference,
right? And like, there's some other things, but and like the Switch version, like frame rate wise, is like a steady 30, I think. While PlayStation 4 Pro can be 60, and PC is like, you know, doesn't really have a cap, but just the music alone, I'm like, oh man, I sure am glad I played this on Switch. But yeah, now I'm like. Now I'm kind of like, man, now maybe I can like go back to other Dragon Quest games, but I'm also a baby and only want to play things on Switch. But the first three are on Switch. Like they made mobile ports of the original three, and then those ports got ported to Switch. So I'm a little like weary about that, but I'm like, I guess I can. Like Dragon Quest III is the one that everyone says is really good of those like original ones, and it's like a prequel to everything anyway. So I'm gonna try that. Nope. But otherwise, like, I'm hoping maybe some more of the older ones get ported to Switch so I could just play them on there. Like I want to play Dragon Quest VIII really bad, but I'm
right.
Like, and it had a 3DS port, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to play that on 3DS. I think I'm just sold out hope for a Switch port for now. But yeah, so that's kind of where I am. I'm excited that I'm finally, like, I'm in. I get it now. I understand this series. I grok it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It's, I the franchise has its fans, so it's like there must be something there. But it's not all just the same game over and over again. Like they have. I remember I played Dragon Quest IX on DS and really liked it. I liked it a lot. It was but you know those games are so big. I was never gonna see it through.
Right, and I played like a bit of that when I liked it. But like, and people say like the series kind of goes like this, where there's more like story focused ones and there's more like kind of open ones, and that one's like really open in terms of like.
Right.
There aren't even really like party members in the game, really. You just make them all, and they're all just kind of like nameless, you know, silent protagonists. So it's a different vibe that's not necessarily my thing. So that was kind of my issue with 9 per se, which was like, it was objectively a very good game, but just wasn't really my thing. Maybe I'd get into it more now. I don't know.
All right. Anything else that you've been playing?
I dipped back into the Division 2 randomly.
Really?
Yeah, my brothers were playing it, and it's a relatively easy game to get back into, which is kind of nice. So, I mean, it's a fun game. Just run, like, if I'm looking for something to play that's not competitive with like my brothers, that's a pretty nice choice. You run around, you look on the map, you click a button, then you follow the trail to that thing, and you do the thing, you know?
Yeah.
And there's constant progression. So, and it still looks really good, and it plays pretty well. So, yeah, no big revelations there, but I'm playing Division 2, and it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I haven't been playing anything much. I've been playing Yahtzee, but we don't have to talk about that. And I've been playing a game that I can't talk about until we know we can talk about it.
I got it. But wait. You 2 weeks ago, you said, I'm playing Ori now. Have you stopped playing Ori already?
No, I haven't. I just haven't had any time. So I still never, like, got all the way through SnowRunner, but I haven't had any time to even touch that over the past week. I set up the Xbox One S in... my basement now, so that I have another way to potentially play that. But even then, it's like now the kids are like, oh, and now I can watch TV down here and watch Netflix and stuff. So that makes it more difficult. So I think what I need to do is I have a way to like hold a phone with like a controller, and I need to just stream it to that, and then I'll be able to play it.
Because
it
sounds like
I just don't have it. Anytime that we're at a TV, it's like, well, I guess we could finally watch like that fifth episode of, Better Call Saul that my wife's been waiting on me to watch. And then, you know, if it's any other time the kids are watching TV.
Now you got to start marathon watching Scoob.
Yeah, exactly. Got to watch that. Got to get that Scoob.
Scoob. You have to say Scoob. Okay.
Scoob.
Like that? Awesome. Yeah.
Too much pee in there, maybe. That looks good, right? Is it good? Haven't seen it. I don't know. I don't know if you're being if you're being facetious or not.
I don't know.
Are you actually excited about it or?
No, I'm not excited about it. I'm not really that down on it, but it seemed like I think it came out today, so it was a relevant point of conversation.
Oh, okay.
I know that Dick Dastardly is in it, so that is the one thing I'm excited about, but I don't know.
That's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. I don't know. It looked fine. I'm sure my kids will want to watch it, so I'll end up seeing it no matter what. But yeah, games I can't talk about. We'll figure out when we can do that. But then I got excited about Tony Hawk, so I found my DS Lite, my wife's DS Lite actually, and I put in Tony Hawk's American Skate Land with an 8, And that was a really good game. They really nailed
it. Portable Tony Hawk games were surprisingly really good. That one was like straight up a 3D one. Like,
yes,
just
totally.
Like the normal one.
From behind, yeah. Behind the back and stuff. I think they like, did that. I think they did. So that was the DS. So the ones before that would have been on Game Boy Advance. And they did those as like isometric games.
Yeah,
and those still worked really well.
Those worked surprisingly well. Yeah, those were like.
And Vicarious really Visions good. Did those. So yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like there's a lineage there. But yeah, I really like that game a ton. It has all the stuff you want from a Tony Hawk game with like the reverts and all that stuff.
Kind of
it
like
feels
that,
good.
That cool, like cel shaded. I remember I liked that more than American Wasteland. I liked Skate.
Yes, it was definitely better than Wasteland for sure. It's fun just kind of getting right back into it. And I still had a saved character, so like it was completely maxed out, and I was putting together million point combos pretty quickly. And it's like finding the lines in those levels is still really satisfying, and keeping them going forever and ever. And like, oh man, my manual is like really, I've really tapped out the manual. So like, let's switch to trying to do grinds now and try to keep this combo going. Just it's really good. So there's still like in terms of just a game where you are precisely in control of all the stuff that's happening on the screen right when it happens. It doesn't get much better than Tony Hawk, I think. Like, it's like, maybe fighting games when you're going against another person, that's like a whole other thing. But just in terms of like pulling off impressive combos in a game where, the physics are really satisfying and you can see that path and choose a path and like just execute on it. Tony Hawk is really special in that regard, which is why this franchise was so popular like when we were kids. So I really hope they pull this off and bring this franchise back and just kind of don't run it into the ground in the way that Bobby Kotick loves to run franchises into the ground. But that's pretty much it. I want to keep playing SnowRunner. I want to keep playing Ori. I would love to like play like Valorant or something like that, but I don't have time for any of that. Anything.
I've played a little bit of Valorant still. My one brother has deemed he's not interested. He finds it too stressful, so that's a little sad. But I still play it myself a bit and have fun.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I think that should do it for us then, Mike. We should probably get out of here.
Let's do it, dude.
All right. So, why don't you start by telling people where they can find you on the internet?
Find me on Twitter as Tolkoto, TOLKOTO. And also check out my Disney podcast, 90s Disney, at 90sDisney.com.
What are you guys doing next? Have you told us?
I think we might be doing a little in-betweener episode for fun where we just talk. We did the big episode on the Yonan Beach Club hotels. I think we're just going to talk about some of our other favorite hotels that maybe aren't necessarily super 90s themed just for fun. But then our next big episode is going to be the Indiana Jones Adventure ride in Disneyland, which is one of the best rides in the world. So that should be fun.
Cool. Looking forward to it. I am Jeff Grubb on Twitter and also on Twitch. And then on YouTube, it's youtube.com/Jeffrey Grubb. My other podcast is How Games Make Money. We put a new episode up this week with where I'm talking to Jake Baldino, who is the video producer and he's a YouTuber basically, and he runs the Game Ranks channel. A lot of good insights about trying to make content for YouTube and trying to survive on just ad revenue. It's a good conversation, so check that out. You can search how games make money wherever you listen to podcasts to find that. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you to everybody for listening. Until next week, we'll be back then. You have a good one, and goodbye.
Bye.